ourselves. And I praise him this morning from the depths of my heart. In the book of Matthew is where we'll be reading from this morning in the 25th chapter. And I believe it'll be a message that will bless you and help you today. And I ask that you pray for us for the time that we're before you, that God will just take his word and anoint it, that it would go out and speak to your hearts. For many of us that are gathered here today come with different things that is weighing us down, things that we've got on our hearts and our minds. But I found through the years that when the Holy Spirit shows up, he chases all those things away from us and gives us peace and a place where we can enjoy all the things that God has given to us today. Matthew 25, go with me if you would, down to verses 31 through verse 34. It says in verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then go with me, if you would, down to the bottom part, verse 46, when he says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." And stop reading there this morning. And I'd like to take our thoughts from that 34th verse. When he said that he would say unto them, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And I like to use for a text this morning, the greatest words you'll ever hear. The greatest words you'll ever hear. And we find in these passages of Scripture that there's coming a day of separation from the goats and the sheep. History teaches us that shepherds would often allow the goats and the sheep to stay together during the day. But at night time there came a separation. And a lot of the things that Christ taught us in his word goes along with the custom at that time. While it is day, we are all together. While it is day, there are sheep in the midst and there are goats in the midst. Not that we classify as, but as God is looking at your heart. The saved he refers to as the sheep, and the unsaved are referred to as the goats. They would allow them to be together during the day, but again at night they would separate them. And we know that we have this day. And while we have this day, it is light, but there's coming a time when darkness shall come. The darkness coming when the Lord shall come in the clouds of glory. And you say, why would it be dark? Because many will be separated on that day. We've heard a lot of bad news this morning. We've heard words of people that are sick, people that have gone into eternity, and those that look like, if God doesn't intervene, that their time might be short. We've heard all of this, but yet we've heard some great news today, because we've heard God speak through the songs and through our time that we've been here in the service, speak to our hearts and let us know that even though there's a lot of bad things going on, God is still on the throne. He's still hearing our prayers and he's still answering our prayers. While we have the day, we ought to seek the Lord. Because the night cometh when no man can work. The night is coming when no man can call upon him, because We hear a lot of different doctrines, and I didn't come to preach doctrines this morning. I come to preach the Word of God. But when the Lord comes in the clouds of glory, however you leave this world is how you will face eternity. To those that know Him in a free pardon of sin, will hear those great words that He will say. To those that don't know Him in a free pardon of sin, they will hear the saddest words ever spoken. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Today we hear all kinds of good things through our life. We heard a lot of bad things this morning, but how many of you have had good news during your lifetime here on this earth? A lot of good news have happened. I believe that if we look back over our life, that most of us, if not all of us, can say that we've had a good life. The Lord has blessed us so. And we've heard a lot of good things this week, this past week and this week coming. There's a lot of children that'll be walking across the stage to receive their diploma. And that is great news for them. To hear that for all those years in school, they finally received their diploma. And that's great news. How many of you can remember how excited you was just to receive that little piece of paper? Some of them are walking across the stage and receiving their degrees that they've worked so hard for. And I know that they're excited and their families are excited to hear their name called out and given that degree, showing again that they worked to be able to accomplish their goals and to receive that piece of paper. Some of us today, we remember some great words that go with us in our life. How many of you remember hearing the words, "Will you marry me?" Right? Ladies, say amen. And some of us men say, "Yeah, she proposed to me." Right? And it's all right. Some of the greatest words that I've heard is, "You may kiss your bride." And that was, Jeff, say amen for me. That was a great day that we looked forward to. Or when we heard the words, and Sister Sharp's here this morning, so when she heard the words that Rachel was expecting and that it was a girl, I seen her celebration. Those were great words to her because she had two old boys. And now she gets a girl to spoil. When we hear that, you know, when we was growing up, it wasn't like it is today that oftentimes most of them know if they're having a boy or girl before it's even born. Many of us was just surprised. But to hear the words that it's a boy or it's a girl, and I believe every one of us, when we heard those words, that a part of our heart was just leaping with joy because it was a great word that God had blessed through the pregnancy and given us a healthy child. It didn't matter if it was a boy or girl, as long as it was healthy. That was the greatest words that we heard, that everything was all right. Or to some of you that are entering or exiting school, that you got the job. How many of us can remember, even through the years, that a job that you wanted, a job you applied for? And some of us, it may not have been the job we wanted, but we needed a job. And you heard that you got the job, your heart leaped with joy, knowing that you would be able to provide for your family. Or through the years that you got the promotion, those were great words to hear. But some of my greatest words that I've ever heard was in the house of God. When I went to the altar and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and I got up, the pastor asked me, he said, "Do you want to be baptized and become a member?" I didn't know how to respond, so I looked at mom and dad, and they were shaking their head, yes. But you know what those words meant? Was that I just walked into a newness of life, and I would experience things like I never experienced before. The greatest words ever spoken was when the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart and letting me know that I was lost and undone. If we remember when we was under conviction, at the time we thought the preacher didn't think much of us. But looking back, I'm so thankful that God sought me out in the midst of that service and He spoke to my heart. It may have felt like he was telling the whole church everything about my life. But you know what he was doing? He was just preaching the truth. Aren't you glad the truth will condemn you of the wrongs in your life? And today they don't want to have too much of the truth spoken, because it does bring condemnation. I believe that we ought to preach the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Let them take it up with God. Because it's His word that's going to stand in judgment, not yours or mine. When the Holy Spirit spoke to our hearts and gave us the call, and He offered forgiveness, if we would just trust in Him, was some great words that we heard spoke in our life. Or when we felt that God had forgiven us, and people say, well, God don't speak. He speaks in through and by His Spirit unto our lives. And people say, how do you know that He speaks? I spoke to Him today. Anybody else spoke to God today? And you know that He hears and He answers what you speak to Him. And sometimes it's just, be patient, my child. Sometimes it's, keep praying. Sometimes He tells us not to let down, but keep going. Even though we may feel like giving up. Anybody else sometimes feel like giving up? But there's no place to give up. We have to keep marching along, because souls are being weighed in the balance and found wanting. We have to keep going. That the words that I've heard, when our boys at TIFF came along, I wanted to make sure they got a good education so that they could hear those words that I heard. I wanted them to be able to find a helpmeet that would be like the one that I had. I wanted them to have a job and be able to provide for their families like we had. I only wanted the best for my kids. And the best for my kids and your kids is knowing Jesus Christ in a free pardon of sin. All these other things are important. But church, let me preach to you today. The job won't bring them happiness. The family won't bring them the true happiness. Nothing in this world brings you true happiness like knowing Jesus Christ in a free pardon of sin. That you know that you've been born again by the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. When we look at how that, these are the greatest words that we'll ever hear, is that when we hear the trump of God sound, declaring that time shall be no more, it will be a welcome sound to those that died in faith and those that died trusting in the Lord, that they would go home to be with Him when this life was over. It will be a welcome sound to all of us. How many of you are ready for God to come in the clouds of glory? I want to preach this morning that this world has gotten so corrupt and so far away from God that I worry about the next generation and what kind of church, what kind of preaching, and what kind of teaching that they're going to have. And I, before I would want to see us become a nation that serves the devil more than God, I would rather for God to come in the clouds of glory and take us home to be with Him. You say, that's a big statement. Folks, hell is getting bigger every day because of what's being taught from our pulpits and in our homes today. God is not pleased with what we're teaching and preaching. Hell is getting bigger because we've invited every god in the world into our country, and they are taking over your loved ones and mine. But God's going to come. He's going to send His Son in the clouds, and there's going to be a day of separation. Two in the field, and one will be taken. Two at the grindstone, and one will be taken. Not everybody that says they are saved or that they are redeemed is going to heaven. I ask you this morning for a personal testimony. How many of you know by the uplift of your hand that you know that if He comes in the clouds of glory today, you are packed up and ready to go with Him? Would you raise your hands in the house of the Lord? If you can't raise your hand, then you are one that needs to hear the greatest words ever spoken. And you know what they are to me? Is I forgive. The greatest words He ever said was I forgive when He saved my dying soul. And unless you have gone to the place in your life where God has turned you over to a hardness of heart and a reprobate mind, God wants to save you today. Church, wouldn't we love to see them come and get saved by the grace of God on this Sunday morning, that they also might be ready when God calls? Amen. But God's coming maybe years down the road. I don't believe, Brother Les, that it's very much longer until He comes. And you say, by what signs are you saying that? By the signs of the times we are living in. The prophecy of the Word of God is coming to fulfillment each and every day. We see this with moms killing their own babies. With men going with men and women with women. This is not favorable preaching, but it's the truth. People say, Roger, you're not very politically correct. No, but I am God correct. And God correct is more important than being politically correct. Because politically correct is what has turned our nation into the shape that it is in today. Can I preach this morning? God laid this on my heart as I was driving to church. And it may offend some of you, but it's the truth. There'll be no participation trophies in heaven. Oh, some of you know what I'm preaching about. You either got it or you don't. He's not going to say, well, you tried. You was a good spouse. You was a good mom. You was a good dad. You was a good provider. You was a good church member. So that means come on in. That is not God's teaching. He said, as a tree falls, so shall it be. If you go down in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. It's the truth. But to everyone that's been redeemed by God's grace, I declare to you, it's the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole lifetime. I've had a lot of good things happen. And I'm not bragging on Roger. I've had a lot of good accomplishments in life. But the greatest accomplishment I got was when I was 12 years old and I bowed at an old-fashioned altar of prayer and I called upon the Lord to save my dying soul. And mom and dad didn't tell me I got it right. The preacher didn't tell me I got it right. And the deacons didn't take me in a back room somewhere and talk to me and tell me I got it right. You know who told me I got it right? The Holy Spirit told me, Lloyd, I was like the young man that Christ performed a miracle on, and they was asking his parents, who did this? Tell us who did it. And they said, he's of age, let him speak for himself. Mom and dad didn't put the words in my mouth. God gave me the deliverance, and I knew I went down broken. I don't know what he did while I was down praying, but I know the burden was lifted, and I felt like God had forgiven me of my sins. And I still have that same feeling today. In the book of Luke, in the 10th chapter, here come these apostles back to Christ, and they said, Lord, we're excited. And I'm paraphrasing it this morning in Roger's words, and the Lord probably looked at him and said, "Why are you so excited?" And they said, "We're excited because you sent us out and we're able to heal people, and all kinds of spirits have been subject unto us." And the Lord looked at them and said, "You ought not rejoice because of that, but you ought to rejoice because your name is written in heaven." We've got something to rejoice about. Some of you say, "That's what's wrong with you old-fashioned Baptists. You think we ought to just rejoice all the time." How many of you go to your kids' ball games or your grandkids? Raise your hands this morning. Some of you are afraid Roger's going to preach on you. God's Word might preach on you, but Roger ain't. We went to a little presentation with Trinity in it on Friday night. And, you know, between the scenes, after one scene would come to an end, people began to clap and hoot and holler. That's the way we are with our kids and our grandkids. When they are out there participating and playing or whatever it is, we give them encouragement along the way. Let me tell you, when we come to the house of God, there ought to be some encouragement taking place in God's house. There ought to be some amening. There ought to be some praise the Lord. There ought to be somebody that would stand up and say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Or somebody, people might take this wrong, but every once in a while somebody ought to be able to give a big old hand clap. "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me, that I know that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven." The greatest words you'll ever hear is when the Lord looks at us that are on the right hand. I'm glad I'm on the right hand. That's another message, ain't it? There's fewer on the right hand than there is on the left hand. And you say, how can you prove that? The Bible says that hell has had to expand herself, because so many are choosing rather to go to hell than they are to heaven. I read nowhere in this word where God has had to have a building onto heaven. You know why he's never had to build onto it? Because when he made heaven, he made it big enough for every man, woman, boy, or girl to ever be born from Adam until the sound of the trumpet, that we all could go to heaven together if we choose to do so. Joshua, if you choose the Lord, you shall live. But if you choose the gods of this world, you shall die, and die, and never die. He said unto them that this day of separation is coming, and he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Listen at this, church. He will say to us on the right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I know I shall hear those words someday. I can't be like Paul, where Paul said, "I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, and henceforth there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me on that day, but not for me only, but for all those that love his appearing." I can't say I've always fought a good fight. There's been times when my faith has been low. There's been times when I got off course. But to know that I'm going to hear him say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world." How many of you know you're going to heaven when you leave this world? That ought to make somebody want to get excited on a Sunday morning. To know that no matter what the devil tells, does the devil ever tell anybody else you're a failure? That you've missed the mark? That sometimes he'll even come to us and say, "You're just a hypocrite." But you know what I like to tell him? If I am a hypocrite, I'm a hypocrite that's been saved by God's grace. I may fall, but I've never been knocked off the rock. Amen. You see, the greatest thing that we're going to ever experience is when we close our eyes for the last time on this side of the river. And we witnessed the Lord coming to gather up our soul and take us to rest under the altar of God until that day when he brings our soul back with him and we receive that glorified body. I made mention of all these that are sick, these that are in pain and in suffering. Let me tell you, heaven's going to fix it all. You that can hardly walk, Isaiah said, we shall run and not grow weary. We shall soar as eagles. We're going to be in a place where all these aches and pains and all the things that hold us back here, we're going to release them and we're going to get that glorified body. Sharon, I think about Sister Ruby right now. She's a prisoner in her own body. But hallelujah to God. One day the Lord is going to call and he's going to release that prisoner. You know what keeps us from doing what we want to do? It's this body that we live in. This mind that we have. But when the Lord calls, this soul shall lose gravitation. Oh, praise the Lord. And I'm going to take a flight. I'm going past the stars and the moon and the constellations and the galaxies. I'm going to that place that God prepared from the foundation of the world for people like you and I that would just say, yes, Lord, I believe in you. Yes, Lord, I trust in you. And I may be made fun of. I may be mocked. I may be scorned. But I'm going to put everything I have into your name and say, by the name of Jesus Christ, I believe you will save me and forgive me of all of my sin. And certainly he did. He did, and he does. Has anybody been forgiven since you got saved? I won't ask you how many times. And I don't want you to ask me how many times. See, we're not perfect. Anybody that'll tell you that Christians, when you get saved, you become perfect, is teaching you a lie. We're still imperfect. But there is a perfect part down on the inside that knows about God and loves God. And, you know, these little kids, sometimes they get excited. Sister made comment to me when the young people was up here singing and Grant was up here dancing. I say, let him dance on. You know what I believe they're doing? They're like the birds that's out there that's singing their song. They're singing it for the glory of God. And these little kids, they may not know the words to the songs, but they can feel the presence of God. How many of y'all this morning, I'm trying to find a hushing place. How many of y'all, sometimes the Spirit comes upon you and you don't know what to do? You don't know whether to say amen or raise your hand. Or maybe be like Grant and just dance a little bit. We've had some that would just raise their hands. Little kids. If kids know how to praise him, we ought to know how to praise him. Because we're going to hear the greatest words ever spoken. When he says, come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. See, before we was, God was. In eternity past, God saw people like you and me that would die and go to hell because we could not keep the law. But God in eternity past said, but I have a lamb that can pay the price for their sins. Glory to his name. And when it comes time, in the fullness of time, I will send my son to die on Calvary's cross, that they will not have to hear the words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you, but they'll be able to hear the words, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom which was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I don't deserve to get to go to heaven. but I'm glad I get to go anyway. I've done no great deeds or done no great works to get to go to heaven. You know why I get to go? Because I've been saved by the grace of God. All the other things, and don't take it wrong, I'm proud of these young people when they get their diplomas and when they get their degrees, or when we have the privilege of standing before them and a man and woman comes together to be a husband and wife. And I did say husband and wife. I still believe in husbands and wives. Amen. Lloyd made mention in Sunday school about men being men and being the spiritual leader in the household, and certainly they ought to be. But when you hear statistics that over 50% of the homes in America don't have a man in the house, something is wrong. And people say, Roger, you preach well, but now you've got to get into all that stuff. There's only like 20%, 80% may say they believe in God, but there's only 20% that are active in their church. God must look at us and say, how disappointed I am with you as a church, as individuals, and as a nation. How disappointed I am that I allowed my son to die on Calvary's cross. And then this is the way that you thank him. I want you to think about that the next time the devil gives you an excuse not to go to church, or not to worship God, or not to be involved in the service. People say, you Baptists think that everybody's got to get involved. If you're not involved, the devil will get you involved. How many of you remember Granny telling you the idle mind is the devil's workplace? Workshop, right? If you're not thinking on good things, you're thinking on bad things. Oh, so I got one amen. I think we ought to be thinking on good things. Yes, my loved one is sick now, but God's going to take care of it. Yes, my family is broken heart because a loved one's gone into eternity, but God can heal that brokenness. Some of us this morning are praying, God, you know my family that's out of church. I'm asking you to visit with them, and I am trusting that one day they will come and they will rise from their pew and they'll go to an old-fashioned altar and really get right with God. And then some of us are saying, Lord, I've got lost ones. I believe that in this congregation this morning, there's not a mom and dad here that wouldn't give just about anything they got to see their child or grandchild walk down an aisle and give their heart to Jesus Christ and be saved, because all these other things that I've mentioned before are important. But when it comes time to die, you'll leave your degrees and your diplomas, you'll leave your spouse, you'll leave your job, you'll leave everything else behind you. But look what I've traded for a cross and a crown in glory land. I've got more there than I've got here. In fact, y'all may not know this, but I'm the son of a man who owns it all. I'm one of the wealthiest people that there is, not by stocks and bonds or cash or by tangible things, but because my father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, the heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. Everything you see was made by my father. And when I became his son, he said, all that I have is yours. It's yours. And listen, and I'll close this Robin Sharon and get a song. See, in this world, when mom and dad have a lot, kids have to wait until mom and dad die to inherit it. Right? And Jim, some of them fight tooth and nail over a dollar. But what my father has, I don't have to wait till I die to get it. I've already got it. Everything he owns, he gives to me. And he gives to you. And today, if you have never heard the Lord speak to your heart and give you that unconditional love and mercy to show you that he'll save you regardless of where you're at or and what you've done. Sometimes people say, I don't know if God will save me. I've been so bad. Let me tell you, he has saved liars. He has saved thieves. He has saved adulterers and adulteresses. He has saved murderers. Right? Paul was a murderer, was he not? He has saved all kinds of people. Three of the women in the lineage of Christ were harlots. He saved them. Maybe I ought to stick to two. Rahab and Bathsheba. Rahab was a harlot. You say Bathsheba wasn't a harlot? Any woman that will sleep with another man while her man's off in battle is a harlot. Somebody say amen. And any man will sleep with another man's wife while his wife is off working is a bad, bad thing. In fact, the Bible calls him a whoremonger. You say, Roger, you're getting too tough. I'm not tough. God's word is tough. But yet, when you have God, one last witness. Being a Christian is easy. You just have to learn to say no a lot. No, Satan, I don't want to go to that party. No, Satan, I don't want anything to do with that crowd. No, Satan, I don't want to have the world at the price of jeopardizing my relationship with God. And you say, that sounds like a lot of no. No, there's a whole lot of yeses. Yes, Lord. I receive your blessing upon me and my family. Yes, Lord, I appreciate your goodness. Yes, Lord, thank you that you woke us up this morning and you gave us health and strength. There's a lot of, yes, I get to go to church. You don't even hear many Baptists say that. I get to go to church. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. And you get to go to church. And I hope that somebody here this morning that needs to know Jesus Christ in every part of sin, you get to be saved. The devil can't hold on to you when God comes in. He will release you from that stronghold and set you free. While we stand and sing a verse of a song, I ask you today, what is there that's worth dying and going to hell for? You may have heard all these other great announcements. Great announcements. And you ought to be proud of your accomplishments. But the greatest thing you can ever do is get Christ into your life. Would you trust him on this Sunday morning? Young man or woman, mom or dad, grandma or grandpa, it don't matter who you are or what age you're at. God wants to save you. Trust him this morning. Only he can save. Bless you, Jennifer. Yeah, you, some of you ladies come in here with Jennifer, would you? Pray with her. Anybody else this morning? This altar was prepared just for times like this. These folks are here because they love you today. Why don't you step out and say, Lord, I receive you as my Savior. Not just a name, but I want to know you as my personal Savior. Call out to Him this morning. Savior, hear my humble cry. He'll hear it if you'll follow His Spirit. Yes. That's God speaking to you. Sing on, Rob. That's God speaking to you. It's not Roger, because this is not my word. This is God's word. What you feel right now is God inviting you to become part of His great family. And now the choice is yours. What are you going to do with Him? You can come and be put on the right hand, or you can stay where you're at and be placed on the left. It's your choice. It's your choice today. While He's calling today, you need to answer. Rob, if we could go to "Just As I Am" for a verse. Brother Eli's coming. And I know that many of us today are worried about our children and our children's children. There's nothing that I wouldn't do for my kids. They stand in need. I'll try my best to help them in any way I can. But when it comes to their relationship with God, that's between them and God. I can pray for them, but it takes them seeking the Lord in their own life to make that decision. I ask you why they sing this song. Are you right with God? Are you right with God this morning? Or are you standing on the outside looking in and saying, someday I'd like to get that? God is saying to you, let this be that day. Let this be that day that you trust me as your Savior. I come. The Bible gives us so many examples of people that had excuses for not coming. Some months ago, y'all remember me preaching a message about excuses that people offer. Your excuse won't work. You say, but I'll get to plead my case. No. That's man's interpretation. God will tell whether you have the blood or not by which side you're on. He knows where you're at. Trust your heart today. Amen. We followed our hearts today, and I hope you followed your heart. I feel within my spirit today that others could have come. God said His word will not always tarry with man. If God comes back and offers you another opportunity, it's only by His grace and mercy. You see, God owes us nothing. Nothing. But we owe God everything. Everything. God bless these today. Lord bless them. You got something you would like to share this morning?